making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dorsett, wide side left, white to the left of Brady. Tom takes the snap. He's pressured. He moves up. He slips the rush. He steps to his right. He loads up. He throws deep downfield. Rock is there at the goal line. Ball is up in the air. Batted around. And it's incomplete. And the Philadelphia Eagles, for the first time in their history, are Super Bowl champions. For the first time in 58 years, are atop the NFL. It's their first title since 1960.
I promise we don't play that to twist the knife or anything. Just a way to get back into talking about the game, so that's all.
It's kind of the...
It sucks to hear that again.
Well, that's the cap. That's the end cap.
Yeah.
Top it off, 2017-2018 season. Officially over. Welcome back, Beetle.
Joe's so depressed. He's so depressed.
Well, it feels like you wasted...
We played a promo a minute ago. Bob Sosie going, touchdown, Patriots! And so it goes, no more touchdowns now. Just talking to himself.
It's like he hit a brick wall. Really, though. When it's
so
over.
You're so sad that football season's over.
I'm trying to
win
figure
or lose.
Out.
You're sad when football season's over, but when you lose, it's obviously not as fun.
I'm trying to figure out what feels worse, like that, you know? Because let's face it. I mean, when we lost the last Super Bowl, I was on the sideline with Gil and Gino, so you really didn't, you know, feel like you're in the call. But you know, those two guys call the game. I just added little blips here and there. I remember losing out in Denver AFC Championship. That's bad. You know, you end up going for two at the end, and we all know how that one ended. But that team really didn't feel like you had something, you know? Like, your quarterback threw for 500 freaking 5 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. You had a passer rating. I don't even talk passer rating. But I'm looking at, like, the wrap-up stuff and, you know, whatever number site that you use, and everybody's crunching things as to spin it as to how was it, like, you potentially played one of the greatest offensive quarterbacking, you know, jobs, games, whatever you want to call it ever.
Right.
And you still feel like you get your nuts kicked in.
One of the more insane statistical games ever.
I don't know where you want to start with this Butler thing. I mean, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, we got a lot on that. But just your reaction to this game after you've had a couple of days to think about it.
I thought,
man, did their defense really blow in this game? It was so
incredibly
bad.
They finally
got
exposed. They couldn't cover it up anymore. You couldn't. Bottom line, it's a personnel thing. Philly had so much better offensive personnel than you had defensive personnel.
Yes. Yes.
Because there's one time in that game I'm looking. It's Bademosi. It's Jordan Richards. It's Harrison. You know, guys like Adam Butler, again. You know, it's Roberts in the middle. And Eric Rowe. And your nickel. That's six. There's six defensive starters out of 11 I just named. That you could argue on other teams would not be in the mix game 3 or 4 of the preseason. Or they would be playing in those games because they'd sort of be on their way out.
You know what I wonder?
I told you this week 17, though.
Yeah.
Remember, we looked at an end zone shot of them sacking the Jets quarterback at the time, McCown, for a sack. Or no, who was it? Petty. Was it Bryce Petty? Who played that last game for the
Petty.
Jets? I don't remember. Bryce Petty. So they sacked him in the end zone for safety, and we're looking at the defensive, you know, the end zone copy for the Belstrader. And I'm looking at the same thing. Okay, there it is again. There's Harrison. There's Butler. And there's Wise. Wise is going to be a good player. You know, he's a young kid, rookie year. But then there's Roberts and Jordan Richards down as the two middle linebackers as opposed to, name it, Dont'a Hightower or whoever else. And I'm like, look at this front. Like, this is a front in a third or fourth preseason game. I came on air that day.
You did. You said
after
that.
After we did the thing.
And you said that.
We said that. Well, that's the front you had, too. Again, maybe, you know, and then take Malcolm Butler out of the equation.
Playing
your defense, your defense is that much more worse.
Yeah.
On a big stage exposed. And Belichick talked about this last week. We need to cover every single blade of grass. That's what Philly, you know, because they put that, you know, outside pressure on you because that RPO. They stretch the field. They're Kansas City, but better. They're better than Kansas City. Now, Nick Foles played really well in this game. I thought he was going to crap his pants at some point. Not the whole game. I thought he would have played well for three quarters, but I thought it would have, you know, fourth quarter would have overcome him. Like when they went for fourth down there. That fourth and one, they're gambling, or fourth and a long one or two, whatever you want to call it, and they're in their own territory and they're going for it. Like, that's the game. They completed that. That's where I started to get worried. Because I'm like, crap. Nobody in their right mind does that unless you're at Indy and you want to give the ball back to Peyton Manning, because that guy knew that Tom Brady had it. Had it. Brady carried your ass in this game. I don't even want to talk about Tom versus Time or, you know, making that switch. We all know Brady carried your ass. And don't forget, he didn't have Brandon Cooks for over three quarters. What would the yardage been if he had his fastest receiver running through zones? Probably 600. Like, nobody throws for 600 yards in a Super Bowl. I'm sorry, you don't. You know, you shouldn't throw for more than 300 in a Super Bowl. If you're playing a really good defense. Like, I go back to those great Super Bowls of past, whether it's the Aikman-led dynasties of Dallas, or whether it's Joe Montana, or even the Elway run. Even Roethlisberger, when you throw for 300, it's considered one of the greatest performances in history.
I didn't think that the Eagles' offense was actually capable of putting up the numbers they put up in this game. And they were, because the defense was that bad.
You couldn't do it.
I spent a lot of time last week talking about the defensive front for the Eagles. And I said, if the Patriots protect, they win. I said that repeatedly last week.
Oh, they protected.
They protected the hell out of them, except for one play. Right? And I'm not even going to hold that against Shaq Mason or Tom Brady or the Patriots offense.
Oh, Brady's stepping up. That should be protected. It's a four-man rush.
For the entire night.
Yeah.
Those guys up front did their job, you know, next to Tom Brady.
I told you their corners
outside sucked. Outside of Tom Brady, the Patriots offensive line as a group did the best work on the field that night, because that Eagles front is legit.
Yep.
And just because they didn't get there until that very play does not take that away from them.
I'd like to have one of those guys.
The Patriots offensive line,
a single one of them,
had a hell of a performance in that game.
Oh.
They protected. And the Patriots put up 600 yards of offense.
I feel bad for them.
So if we were talking about this on Friday before the game, and let's say a caller had called us though and said, you know what, the Patriots are going to have 600 yards of offense and they'll probably still lose, you would laugh them out of the building.
Every once in a while, I click the dump button. Like, I'm not taking it.
You'd say, eject.
Yep.
Sorry.
And then you'd be able to back it up.
Then you'd be able to back it up and say, do you know that what you are suggesting has never happened in the history of football? That has never happened? That teams were 38-0-1 with 600 yards of offense or more that game on Sunday night?
You would have to start devising scenarios. It's like, what happened? Did they drive the field on every possession?
Who's that?
And then throw a pick six right when they got to the goal line, like, three different times? Like, there's no other way that could happen.
Wait,
how are you going to rack
up
that?
It's 10-10. Why are you here?
Oh, I guess I'm here early now.
All right!
We have an announcement to
make. Is that real?
Breaking news, Chief?
You guys didn't fill me in?
You got breaking news?
I think I mentioned it to you a few months ago.
Mr. New Contract.
I mean, I know that we all wanted that.
Well,
I've been asking for this for five years.
I heard for the first time 10 minutes ago.
You guys don't listen to me.
No, yes,
that's
we
the
do.
Problem.
Yes, we do.
Jim
we
doesn't
do
listen to me.
You
don't listen to me.
You
Zoe's
all have
the
your
only
inside
one
conversations, and you don't tell us.
Zoe's the only one who remembers me telling you.
I know that we were angling for that.
Yes.
I didn't know it had happened. I didn't know it was confirmed.
Well, it all worked out.
Good.
All parties agreed.
Two contracts.
Excellent.
Nice.
All right.
Yes, that's right. Where's my press release?
That's right. Where's the breaking news, Jim?
New contract.
Ask Felger. He's in charge of the press releases.
Apparently.
Here.
Yeah. So from now moving forward, Hardy will be with us for the entire four
hours.
Right. It's officially Solak, Bertrand, and Hardy.
But back to that yardage thing, honestly, when you look at the numbers,
that's foolish.
You can't wrap your head around how they, and even watching the game, thinking, wait a second, because they're not.
I can't accept this law.
I can't accept this law. There's some big gains, but when you're trading
so
points back and forth and you're trading, it doesn't seem
it's weird.
It doesn't seem like Tom Brady was dominating, but he was. It was a dominating performance. But because the scoreboard didn't reflect it, and oh, by the way, they would give up points every time the Eagles offense took the field, you never got a sense that Tom Brady was in control of this game, because they weren't.
Because I would have said, okay, 600 points, 600 yards, they're in the 30s points-wise. Okay, I could say the Patriots' defense sucks, but they'll get a couple of stops in there somewhere. No. Look at the track record. No. They bend, but they don't break. Yeah. Or look at them in the AFC Championship game. Late in the game, they come up with a key stop, and they force a three and out. And you say, I don't know how the hell they did that. They're not very good. They have superior coaching.
A man that's
Sunday
40
night,
years.
They just didn't even show, man. And that's, you know, sucks. We're going to get to Butler, and I know that Butler would have helped, and they would have been better, and maybe they get a stop
a
in there
stop.
Somewhere.
My point is, one
that's
stop
all you
in the fourth
but they still
one
would have been
stop.
Very good.
One stop.
They would have been better,
quarter.
But they would not have been
one.
Good.
Yes.
Just what? One.
That's it, so.
And fourth and one.
And that's
ball
all you
game.
Need. And that's why it's important.
One stop in the fourth quarter.
He went for it every fourth down because he didn't respect your defense. They laughed at your defense. Somebody told me before the game that they talked to a high-ranking Philadelphia Eagle personnel guy. And they watched film for 2 weeks going, this defense ain't going to stop a thing.
Did you see the SI quotes?
We are going to roll them.
You see the SI quotes from the
Eagles?
They
were licking their chops to play this defense.
Eagles offensive assistant after the game told Sports Illustrated, we knew they had problems when you forced them to defend the stacks and bunches. You look at them early in the year against those stacks, they were losing guys. And they came out ready to take it.
Stacks
and
bunches.
And not only that,
you didn't play any man.
You can look at the balls
man.
That they had and Doug Peterson and going for it and going for it on the fourth down play and having multiple times where he said, we look at it and say, what is this guy, losing his mind? Just saying, F it, go for it. I think the more you think about that, the more you think that was their plan. Because they said, we are not going to just not go for it against this team. We are going to roll the dice. We are going to do everything in our power to keep up with these guys because they have Brady and we don't. And they have an offense that's capable of putting up 600 yards against us, and we're not quite that good. So any chance we have, we're just going to take it because that's the only way to beat these guys. That's the only way to last the 60 minutes. And it worked.
Yeah, they blueprinted your ass. They did.
They did.
Defensively. Offensively, they are loaded coming back next year. New England. You get a 40-year-old that carried your ass like that with – one-third is normal talent. Edelman, Amendola, Cooks, Hogan, Gronk, your backs, Cannon's back. This team's loaded offensively. Defensively, you have a massive, massive offseason to retool this defense. I don't know where you start. I think you need one guy up front. We'll get to all that.
617-779-0985. Beadle and Zoe and Hardy right out of the gate from now on at 10 a.m., back at it after a week in Minnesota. Back home. Feels good to
you know
settle
sucks?
In.
Doing a show and not a Panda Express 40 feet from me.
Zolak.
A little bit of badass, a little bit of salt and vinegar.
Bertrand.
Sorry, I said that weird.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
One thing that Patriots coach Bill Belichick, Dan, said this morning is that a lot goes into it. And yes, from what I understand, there are several factors that led Malcolm Butler, one of the team's top defensive players, to not be on the field for the Super Bowl. Among those, he showed up a day later than teammates because he was sick. Remember, he was not at opening night. That was a factor. I'm also told that during practice this week, he really struggled, had a rough week of practice, perhaps because of illness, but maybe because of other things. That was one thing that they had to consider in putting Eric Rowe out there instead of him. Then I'm also told there were some other issues, disciplinary issues. There was a small or minor violation of team rules that happened earlier in the week. That is one thing. Then there's some attitudes, frustrations as well. All of this combined and put Malcolm Butler not on the field with his teammates trying to win the Super Bowl, but on the sideline watching.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, with his report. And Rappaport wants you to believe that it was a perfect storm of matters. Perfect storm.
Don't piss me off today, Lau.
That it was a triangulation of crossfire. That's what it was.
What time did Jim get in last night? 12, 12:30?
12:30 was on.
Yeah. You don't have to play death music all day, okay?
So.
Why don't you play, what's that, the Kings of Leon?
He's going with the perfect storm, which is that it was not just a disciplinary matter.
Right.
That it was not just that he was sick. That it was not just that he had been not practicing well and missing practices leading up to the game, that it was a combination of all three that led to Malcolm Butler being on the sideline during the game of Super Bowl 52. I don't buy it. I just don't buy this. I don't buy that it's everything combined.
You remember Michael Floyd when he was here? Now, Michael couldn't drive, right?
No, he didn't have a license.
Right.
He had it taken away.
Yeah, so Jacoby Brissett, the Pied Piper, he had to sort of follow the Pied Piper.
Him around, right. Yes.
And sort of take him under his wing and show him the way, and it, everything worked out well that way. I was hearing that Malcolm needed one of those type of players, a younger player, to help facilitate him to make sure he's attending things on time.
Such as team meetings?
I think he's, yeah, sort of.
Practices?
No, I don't think he'll do practice, but...
Getting home on time?
They put a lot of stock in. Get your ass there and make sure you're in your ass. Make sure your damn ass is in your seat way ahead of your meeting. The extra stuff. Make sure you're in your seat on time.
So he has a problem being
on time. I don't
think
he's missed practices.
He has a problem. Well, no, he missed practices due to being sick.
Well, we know that last week.
Sorry, I should have clarified that. He did miss practice time because he was sick, and as you know, he was receiving IV fluids on Sunday, last Sunday, before the game, and then could not fly on Monday, needed to fly out to Minneapolis on Tuesday. So he did not travel with the team due to the sickness.
I do not think it is just held 100% or even 60% to the events of last week. And to what Bill said, that we need to sit down and have a long conversation as to, you know, don't really want to open up that can right now. But if I opened up that can, we'd be sitting here for a long time talking about the issues. It's funny how we don't hear about these issues.
Well, hold on.
Go ahead.
If he has these issues, which you say he does,
right,
which I have no reason to not believe you, if it's showing up late, having trouble being at meetings on time, having problems staying out late, whatever it might be, did these problems not exist 2 weeks ago? Did they not exist 3 weeks ago?
I think they existed a year ago.
Not exist a year ago?
Okay, then. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So while those problems existed, he played more defensive snaps for the New England Patriots in 2017 than any other player on the team. And then in the last two playoff games, he did not take a single snap off. He was on the field for every defensive snap against the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Something tells me that these issues that Malcolm Butler has seemed to have, according to some, aren't new and didn't all of a sudden happen in the last 7 days.
Right. No,
timing, but what about the timing of it?
The timing of it is horrendous. You know, the Rick Ross concert, whatever, and showing up late. And if he did
Hold on. Rick Ross. Whoa. Rick Ross concert. When was that?
That was Thursday.
Thursday night.
So he got in late Tuesday because he was sick. Didn't even fly out with the team. Team personnel had to pick him up. Came in a day late. Missed two practices because he still wasn't ready to go. And supposedly looked like crap in the third practice.
Okay, my question to him would be, if you were so sick on Sunday and you had to fly late and you couldn't fly Monday because you were still so sick, you fly on Tuesday and then 48 hours later or a little more than 48 hours later, you're going out to a nightclub?
Right.
What are you doing?
Right. And then you got And then you got Brandon Browner running his mouth on Instagram. We'll get to that.
That's bad. That is a bad look for Malcolm Butler.
But he's talking about, I've had incidents with other coaches and I've had confrontations. If Malcolm had a confrontation with an assistant coach or whoever was doing bed check, because let me tell you this, security's a little different at the Super Bowl. If you're missing a curfew and that whole floor is secure.
I talked about it last week on the air, though, after going through the team hotel, because I had to go in there to talk to Jonathan. To walk down a hallway, you're going past literally half a dozen guys.
I was through
all
that.
All of them armed heavily.
There
are a lot of people there.
I had clearance through the hotel because I had the little special patch on my thing, and I literally got stopped every 8 feet I went, and they grab you. Remember we went there one night? They hold up to your face. Then they do the facial recognition.
You had to drop that box off, whatever that was, going into the hotel.
Yeah.
They were giving Zoe the full security check.
Sure, every time.
And that's good. I went
there multiple times. They knew me. The guys started calling me Scott.
Right.
Have a good day, Scott. Sure. I got to check it, though. So if he's coming in late, by the time he gets to his floor, there's probably 20 security people that already have it in their ear. And then you're going to get the coach. Hopefully it's not the head coach. Hopefully it's one of the assistants doing bed check or one of the lower level guys. Because maybe that guy would sort of not say anything. I pray to God that during Super Bowl week, you're not waking up the head coach at midnight saying, we got an issue with a guy coming in late here on the floor. And then that's where, like, I would not want to be that guy.
Bill. Oh, man.
That's why you're crying. That's why you're crying. That's why you are crying during the national anthem.
Malcolm came in.
You effed up.
I know you said not to bother you, but Malcolm was a little late, and he had an edible in his pocket. What should we do?
Burn job!
It's got to be so much more.
So there's
going
this
on.
One report.
Here's what you should have
so
done.
There's this one report about weed, right, from Pro Football Focus. Is that?
Yep.
Yeah,
well,
Pro Football
Focus. You should have on the spot sent his ass home if that happened, like, instead of dressing him out. Now,
that's what would have happened if it were true, in my opinion.
But wait,
just sent
that's
home.
All it
but,
was.
But is Bill looking at it saying, we got only four healthy frickin' corners. If I had five, his ass would be on a plane. I've got to dress him out for an emergency situation. And what's really sad here, nobody's talked about this.
Why? Because you're afraid of hurting the team?
To that extent.
You wouldn't want to have to not have your fourth corner because that could hurt the team? You know what hurt the team was not playing the guy.
Yeah, I understand
that.
That's
what hurt the team.
I understand that.
So if it's about not hurting the team, then you play him. If that's what your argument is. Hey, I can't afford to not have him because that could hurt our chances.
See.
Well, if you're basing your decision on what could hurt your team in the game, then you play him.
I mean,
if you're not basing it on that, and it's a disciplinary matter, then make him inactive.
It's got to be so much
or
more.
Send him home.
It's got to be so much more because he wanted.
It's
he
all
wanted to,
or nothing.
He
here.
Wanted
it's
to
all
embarrass
or nothing.
Him. He wanted to embarrass him because
it feels that way. It feels like he wanted to put that guy on the sideline.
There's a defensive
make him be suited up.
Yep.
Put the helmet on and sit there and watch it. Is what it felt like he wanted him to do.
That was a message. That was a big time message there because he had a defensive end that showed up barefoot with no shirt. Praying to somebody out in the cop parking lot because he was on Planet Zippy asking for help. That guy started and played 2 days later.
I just want to tell you that the last guy you want making the case for you or offering a defense for you is Brandon Browner. No, thank you.
Are we gonna play
I know
next?
He doesn't control Brandon Browner.
We're going to do that next?
I know that he has, you know, might have a friendship with Brandon Browner, but that is not a guy you want offering up the defense. If that's the best guy coming out in your defense, you need to get someone better. You know, you start calling other friends to have them match his Instagram videos with something else.
I don't know. The entire media is coming out in Malcolm Butler's defense. The entire Boston media is defending Malcolm Butler this week.
Yeah, but that's media. There's nobody on the inside defending him right now other than Brandon Browner. He's barely inside. He's just a former player.
I talked to Malcolm at the postgame party. And to his credit, he was there the entire time. Showed up with his friends, his family. Players have talked to him. I talked to him. Thanked him for
again. I'm not sure that's the defense he wants.
No,
you know
no.
He was in the postgame.
No,
okay.
No. But I'm
I
saying know,
I couldn't believe it. Right again.
We were standing there. We saw him. Malcolm Butler doing here?
Oh, he's
watching.
My head
J-Lo.
Was like my head was like The Exorcist. It spun around like holy Jesus, he's here.
We'll get to Brandon Browner's videos coming up after headlines with Hardy.
Sports Hub headlines.
More questions. Still not a lot of answers regarding Malcolm Butler. 2 days after the Patriots Super Bowl loss to the Eagles in Minneapolis. Bill Belichick on his conference call yesterday.
I respect Malcolm's competitiveness and sure that he felt like he could have helped. Sure, the players felt the same way. But in the end, we have to make the decisions that we feel are best for the football team. And
by the way, I'm not convinced this is Bill Belichick. It's a really good Bill Belichick impersonator. It's not quite there.
So we did. That's what I did. That's really all I can say about it.
Hmm. Yesterday, the Lions officially announced Matt Patricia as their new head coach. Still no word
out.
They got
to be really excited right now.
Yeah, that's a great look for him going out the door.
That's not fair. He got. I think it's talent.
No, it's Lion, okay. Lions fans are just used to this. It's fine. They'll be okay. Still no word out of Indy, though. It's long been believed that Josh McDaniels is going to be the new head coach of the Colts, but still no official announcement. Police investigating a break-in at Rob Gronkowski's house. He lives just a couple miles from Gillette Stadium. Reports that safes and possibly guns were taken in what is believed to be a burglary at Rob Gronkowski's home. Both the Bruins and Celtics in action tonight. Both on the road. Both 7:30 starts. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers begin with the Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show here on 98.5 The Sports, Sports Hub at 7 o'clock from Detroit. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell will do the same from Toronto on 100.7 WZLX. Headlines. are brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Make 2018 the last year weight loss is your New Year's resolution. Lose it fast and for life with Awaken 180 Weight Loss. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Bertrand, you guys do a great job talking sports in the middle of the day.
That's what we try to do here on a sports station in the day.
It's true.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
For weed, for curfew, man, do y'all history, man. Patriots is a team to give cats second chances. You feel me? I know players that they used to let wives sleep in the bed with them on away games. You know, I ain't gonna say no names. Like every job, like there's always favorites. You feel me? And little bro wasn't a favorite. You know, he was a favorite as far as what he can do, but probably it felt like they can, you know, use him. Like he was a pawn, a piece to this, you know, this game. Use him for what he's worth. He's gonna, you know, gonna give you your respect as the authority leader, gonna yes sir you when he talk to you. Feel me? So curfew and weed, man, miss me with that. Feel me? It was a power trip. They probably tried to offer him some petty change for the game. He didn't take it. Feel me?
Brandon Browner on his Instagram account offering a defense of Malcolm Butler. This point, I think, is a good one. And according to Brandon Browner, the Patriots play favorites. Some players get special
treatment.
You spent
5 minutes ripping the guy.
I said I wouldn't want him offering my defense.
But he makes a good point.
Well, I think this one is a fair point because let me ask you this. If Stephon Gilmore did the things that Malcolm Butler is accused of doing last week, is Stephon Gilmore playing in the game?
If he has the track record? No.
Okay, let's assume he does have the track record. Let's assume it's the same thing. Let's assume that Stephon Gilmore played more defensive snaps than any other player this year. Let's assume that Stephon Gilmore played every single snap of each of the last two playoff games, and then Stephon Gilmore did whatever it is that Malcolm Butler did. Does he play?
No.
I have my doubts.
But if you do it with the track record thing, now, eventually, too, what you're going to hear with Browner is some guys get preferential treatment. I think that's where he's hammered at home. I think some do earn that.
Yeah, and I think Malcolm Butler is never going to get that preferential treatment.
Because he's had issues. Whatever the issues may be.
Does preferential treatment depend on how well you play?
You know what's interesting? I watched that last Tom versus Time. When he gets in the car and goes to, he's brushing off his snow on his truck, that Ford truck that he drives, and he has his breakfast, and Chopra is in the backseat, and they're going to game day, and he's talking about last game. He was leaving home night before the game then. So you mean that no longer do they stay in a hotel the night before the game? Are guys allowed to go home and sleep? Maybe just some are. Some guys earn that. I think Brady's earned that. I just found it odd that, okay, he just shot a picture of him having breakfast, you know, saying goodbye to his kids, and he gets in his car and he's going to the game, driving to Foxborough on game day. You know, and he's pulling in where the secure location is in the back. It's not the normal spot. Like, wow, does everybody get to sleep at home the night before the game? I don't think so.
There's no part of you that believes or thinks this could have been personal? Based on the last year and the relationship of Malcolm Butler and the Patriots?
Yes, because
there's okay.
Every guy is different.
Yeah.
Yes. Certain guys earn things. Certain guys don't. Certain guys you need to hold their hand.
Which is just my way of saying,
I told you about a player.
This isn't cut and dry. Like, this isn't some cut and dry, oh, it was just a disciplinary matter, and they disciplined him, and that's their deal.
So you think spite was part of the equation,
Yep, I do. I think there's a lot of things.
I think you're crazy.
I think human nature applies to Bill Belichick. I do. I think that he is a human. Despite what other people want to say that he is, I think that he has emotion. I think that he has feelings. I think he likes some players, doesn't like others. Yep, I think the same things apply to Bill Belichick that basically apply to every other human being on this earth.
Why
yes,
do play?
I do. I think those things happen.
I think. Why do you play one snap on special teams?
To spite him.
Yeah.
No, see? You know why he only played one snap on special teams, though? Because they only forced the Eagles to punt one time. That's why.
Thank you.
If they would have punted five times, he would have played five special team snaps.
Because I keep hearing that, too. Why's one snap? They punted once!
And if he was on the Eagles, he wouldn't have gotten any defensive snaps because they didn't punt at all, the Patriots.
Yes, I think personal feelings and spite and a dislike for Malcolm Butler all factored into this. Yep, I do.
Of course, he appreciates his competitive
spirit. There'd be no second chance for Malcolm Butler because, nah, I don't like Malcolm Butler. And he's on his way out the door. In fact, if I had my way, I would have traded him last offseason because Stephon Gilmore is my guy. Yeah, I think all that factors in. I do. I think it factored into this decision to keep him off the field. And I think it hurt the team. So what is the worst accusation that is out there against Malcolm Butler? What do you think the worst part of this is? Late?
No, I would think an interaction, a shoving, or an issue with a assistant coach.
So a fight with a coach.
Fight with a coach.
It certainly isn't
Browner.
The
See, Browner goes thing. To that. Browner said it. I've had fights. I've had altercations with coaches on that team. I think if you shoved the coach when you came in late and that coach was brought to your door, I could see he's getting his ass benched.
I'm going to tell you, it ain't the weed thing.
It's not weed.
Because if all of a sudden you can't play your players because they smoked weed,
right.
I got news for you. A lot of guys in the NFL would be on the bench on Sundays.
Right.
Lot of players.
No,
in
a lot of them. A lot of them
that.
Do smoke weed. But yep. if the weed is keeping you from getting the meetings, you're asked on times. And I told you about a young player. Look at the guy that's next to him, consoling him while he's crying. Number 37. That kid's got his head on straight. I know a lot of us don't like him as a player. You know, crazy angles, bad tackler, not good in space. The kid's from Stanford. He's got his head on straight.
Do you think it divided the locker room?
I think it shocked the locker room. I don't. Divide's a big word.
Do you think there are guys that did not agree with the decision?
Sure.
I would say maybe not a divide.
It's easy to say
divide,
now after the
When
outcome.
You say divide,
sure.
You think, oh, there's infighting and
sure.
guys are pissed at each
sure.
other. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a divide in that sense. I'm going to be willing to bet there were players that did not agree with it
right.
and players who said, well, there's nothing I could do with it, and I'm just going to go out and play the game. I'm not going to think about it.
We as players back in 96, 97 had to vote on whether or not to send a guy home because he missed picture day.
And what'd you vote on?
Let's keep him.
Who was it?
We're not going to talk.
You
about
told
that.
You said the name before.
I'm not going to do it again. He didn't like the fact I said it. So.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I was asked not. I was
you
asked.
Never ask the players that stuff like this though, because they think it's going to be them next time.
Right.
They're always going to vote on the side of the
right.
players.
Of course they are.
Right.
That's why I left.
It's my brother. It's my brother. It's my brother, man.
Which is why half the locker room is upset.
Okay.
Because they're always going to side with the player.
I do think this decision on Malcolm Butler plays into the future of the Patriots. I do. I will explain why I think it's an important note to make about this decision that Bill Belichick made. And finally, we will get to your calls before we talk to Dan Shaughnessy. Tomato Can Dan is in studio today from 11 to 1.
Time to eat crow,
and
huh?
you will be more than welcome to call up Dan and say that you hate his tweets, that you hated his arrogance
you stink.
During the course of the game, and that he stinks. He generally just stinks.
You stink!
You can do all that coming up. We'll get to your calls next.
Hey, sports fans. Time for the weird,
Zolak,
the wild,
Bertrand,
and the unexpected.
How's the butt look? Tight. It looks good.
Good.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
What do you know about the Malcolm Butler situation?
I have no clue about that.
You have an opinion on it?
I don't know. What we were in rest. I don't know what.
You didn't play on defense at all. Do you think you should have played last night?
That doesn't concern me at all.
What are your thoughts going? Have you seen him recently?
That doesn't concern me as well.
But does it make sense to you that a guy that played, let's say, 97 snaps this year isn't in on the biggest game?
Right. I mean, I'm the wrong person to talk to about that. So.
Is it still in Bill we trust around here?
Excuse me?
Is it still in Bill we trust?
We trust Bill. We trust the teammates. You know, it's the process, and we didn't get the conclusion to the process that we wanted. So.
That's Eric Lee, who spoke yesterday in the Patriots locker room. They had open locker room and media availability yesterday.
Another guy thrown into the mix with the other six. There's seven guys on the field out of 11.
That was announced.
And a year ago, are probably not on his team.
Sunday, Eric Lee, the only player to speak. The only guy out of every person on the Patriots roster.
So give me, let me get this right.
One single guy spoke to the media yesterday, and it was Eric Lee.
So they had open locker room when they arrived.
Yes, they did.
And he's the only one that talked?
The one guy who spoke.
That's embarrassing. Sorry. It's
Jonathan.
Technically, Batamosi spoke, but it was only a couple words.
What is Jimmy Stewart cackling about back there?
Did you see the quote from Batamosi?
I did. No, he said, I don't have bleep. I don't owe you bleep.
I don't owe you guys bleep. Then he left.
Who?
Johnson Batamosi.
Johnson Batamosi.
What's he mad at? People called him John instead of Jonathan?
I don't owe you guys bleep. That's what he said. Because he was, asked to speak to the media? Because the media member said, hey, do you have a minute?
Well,
what he said.
He's been a hot topic of getting crushed all year, I guess, right?
And no. No. In fact,
he didn't
the opposite.
Say that.
Anytime we were talking about.
He didn't say that.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I don't owe you guys bleep. Where have you been, Zoe? You had one guy speak, and the only other guy that spoke was Johnson Batamosi telling the media, I don't owe you guys bleep. Well, no one said you did.
That's
number one.
That's terrible.
But this is a bad look for the team.
It's a bad look.
Entire team.
I mean, somebody was running their mouth on that plane then. So everybody got the message. Guys, when we get back, we ain't talking.
Based on what?
I don't know.
Why are they not talking? Because they lost? What is the issue?
I think only like 28 or 30 guys went back.
Can you
the plane.
Ever recall that happening after a season on the, you know, the clean-out day, so to speak?
So you're not required to go back on the plane. I don't think anymore. Because I think almost half the team didn't go back on the plane.
Where did they go? Spend some extra time in Minneapolis?
Well, I mean, you do have to go
to
back.
The mall again?
You do have to go back at some point to take your physical, and they have to clear you for the offseason. So I think a lot of the banged up guys are probably on the plane. That's kind of normal.
But yeah, that's who you had. That's who you had yesterday speaking. Eric Lee, the one Patriot player to speak in the locker room yesterday. That's sad. So if you're looking to read into the decision on Malcolm Butler, you know what it tells me, Zoe? That Bill made that call?
What?
He's not going anywhere. If you're worried about keeping order and maintaining a disciplinary process in place or showing to your players that we don't put up with your crap here and that I'm willing to bench anybody, you don't care about that message for the future if you're leaving.
Does he sign his franchise tag if they tag him?
I'd be stunned if they tag him.
I mean, that's how he stays.
But I believe he would.
That's how he stays.
I believe he would sign it.
Like, sure, because it takes him to, what, 13?
Yeah, he would take the
Thank
money.
Thank you, Bill. Sure. Love you. Love you. You just set my market per year. Thank you.
Yeah, he would take the money.
I mean, is there a weird sense that... No, I know that you think it's personal between him and Bill. Is there a weird sense that Bill is trying to... I don't say break him, but carve him.
Straighten him out?
Straighten his ass out because this is going to make you better in
because
2 years.
Because he wants to keep him?
In 2 years, yeah.
Hey, maybe. You can read into it however you want.
It's a sort of a sick...
If Bill goes into that game and Bill's thinking, I'm done here. I'm done with this game. This is it. This is my last game.
Yeah, why am I going to put my ass out there or hurt my legacy by benching him?
Why is he worried about disciplinary, you know, keeping discipline and keeping order within his locker room? He's not. He'd say, screw it. All caution to the wind. Let's go. Get in there. Play. I don't care what you did this week. We just need to win this game. Get in there.
Yeah.
I don't care about the
discipline.
Get out
the trophy.
Let's
kiss
go.
It. There's another
take
six
my
for
trophy
me.
And
I'm off.
I'm out the door.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Tells me he's staying.
It's a good point. There's some things that kind of worked its way out to really lend a, you know, the thought that he's definitely staying. It's just, you know, there's too many things that went on. They're going to lose coaches. There's no doubt about that. I thought Brady handled it well after the game. Like, whoever said I wasn't coming back. So that's kind of ended of, you know, the reports of the three of them walking away.
All right, let's get to a phone call before we get to Sean at the top of the hour. And I'm laughing because I see this name on the call screener. It's Kenny G.
Oh.
Kenny G in Atlanta.
What's going on, gentlemen?
Hey, Kenny.
What's going on? Hey, listen. I'm down here on Atlanta on fire. Bill Belichick is the best. I'll give him that. But he is an ego maniac. Like, he's the type of guy to spit in my face and tell me it's raining. Like, I don't – how do you do that in the biggest game? Zo, please tell me, how in the biggest game do you not set aside your ego? And if there was an issue, then say it. Because at the end of the day, you cost us a Super Bowl knowing how hard it is to get to that game, knowing you may never get back. How do you do that? I'm on fire about that.
I see you on fire. I see you on fire, and it's a valid question. You know what's sad, too? And I would never wish this or say this would have to happen. Say Eric Rowe got hurt or got a concussion, and he's out. Batamosi gets nicked. Malcolm would get in that game because of injury. And it would probably help your team. That's sad to say that. Nobody said that. I would never wish that. But if, for Malcolm to get in that game, those two would have to go down. Or would he put Jordan Richards at corner?
Yeah.
Got it, yes.
You got it, baby. We got it for you right now.
It's our guy, Kenny G in Atlanta. Last time he called, he was able to pull that one out. What is this, Songbird? Is this the Kenny G standard Songbird?
It's in Songbird, isn't it?
I think this is the name of the song, isn't it?
We need a modern-day Kenny G. Like, we need somebody to come up with this stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking just last night as I was drifting off to sleep. Where's the Kenny G of 2018?
Hey, Hardy, we're going to get to some breaking news, right?
This is Breaking Sports News.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
According to the Indianapolis Colts and their Twitter account, at Colts, they have tweeted the following. We are excited to welcome Josh McDaniels, who has agreed to terms as our new head coach. Press conference scheduled for Wednesday. McDaniels gone. This following the news of what happened yesterday with Matt Patricia agreeing to terms and officially going to the Detroit Lions.
Boy, he did a hell of a job, Justin, in that game after Cooks went down. Moving guys around. Of course, the quarterback played extremely well. I mean, which coordinator do you feel better about heading out the door as far as, okay, we're going to that organization, can't wait to announce this guy's head coach? Detroit, you're not really in a rush right now, and that's no offense to Matt Patricia because I don't think he has the horses. He doesn't. Josh McDaniels, he's got horses. He's got the greatest tight end and quarterback to ever play the game. Really, when it's all said and done, Brady and this tight end, two best at their position.
Let's get to some thoughts on this. McDaniels, out the door. Josh McDaniels officially going to the Indianapolis Colts. That was expected. There had been some reports in recent days that he may not be going to the Colts. Dan Shaughnessy will join us in our Town Fair Tire studios after 90 seconds of these headlines.